everyone that makes this place so great. God is moving. We're in a series called Just Jesus. This is an anthem of our heart. This is what it is all about as we're going up to and getting ready for Holy Week. We're going to be having a Good Friday service here at 8 p.m. right in this room. So you're invited. Your friends are invited. We're going to celebrate communion. We're going to remember the betrayal and get ready for the resurrection day on Sunday. And we're, because it's all about Jesus and what he's done. Amen. And this is a great opportunity for you to invite your friends. 82% of people come to church because they're invited. We're going to do social media. We're going to do e-blasts. We're going to do a bunch of raw videos where you're going to take a video, invite people to church. You're going to text your friends. You're going to make phone calls. But anyone that walks those through those doors is because you invite them. Who do you know? Who needs to come to church on Holy Week, on Easter, you know, so we can talk about Jesus? It's all about Jesus. We're in a series called Just Jesus, and last week we talked about that Jesus is the Prince of Peace, the Chief of Peace, of safety, of happiness. He's the one who gives it. He's the one who brings it. He is the Prince of Peace. And as we read this verse, Isaiah 9:6, this is kind of like our text for the series. It says, "Behold, for unto us a child is born, for to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." This is all about Jesus. Amen. I was meeting with a guy that planted a church a few years ago. I was like, "Hey, Pastor, tell me, if you had to do it all again, what would you start off with? What would the church be all about? Because we got these values that are good, and we have culture that is good, and we have all these things, and mission statements, and all the stuff that we're all about, which is all good." But he said, I said, "What would you start with again?" He said, "I'd just start with Jesus. Let's just build this thing, make this thing all about Jesus. It's him is what this thing is all about. Jesus, the Wonderful Counselor. Jesus, that's who we're going to talk about today. He's a counselor. That word parakletos or counselor means helper, guide, friend, comfort, intercessor, advocate. How many of you need a guide in life? How many of you need a helper? Help! I need help. It's Jesus. Who wants to know that you got an advocate, someone on your side that's advocating on your behalf everywhere you go? He's cheering for you. He's your biggest cheerleader. He's intercessing for you. He's talking about you in heaven. His angels are released on your behalf. He's got your case. He's got your best interests at heart. He has a plan and a purpose. His name is Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Amen. Come on, give Jesus a loud applause. Amen. Jesus, John 14, 16 through 17, Jesus said, "I'm going to give you a counselor, an advocate to help you," right? He's your counselor. He's your guide. In John chapter 16 through 17, what does that say on the screen? John 16, 17, verse 7 says, "But in fact, it is best for you that I go away." This is Jesus talking. "Because if I don't, the advocate won't come. If I don't go away, then I will not send him to you." Other version says, "The counselor, the guide won't come. The Wonderful Counselor, his name is Jesus. And he's here to guide you, help you, advocate on your behalf, intercede for you, give you help. He brings comfort." I love comfort. How many of you love comfort food? He's better than any comfort food. He's better than any cookie. He's better than any Krispy Kreme donut. He satisfies and fulfills forever. He's the everlasting gobstopper at Willy Wonka. He never runs out of love and power and joy is unspeakable through Jesus. He is. Everything is, he's the righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. We're talking about just Jesus. Amen. Just Jesus. He is your counselor. Amen. He is your guide. So listen to his voice. Listen to Jesus. Jesus is always speaking. Sometimes we need to be quiet and let him speak. He is your guide. He is endeavoring to help you. Let him help you. Let Jesus help you. God is always speaking. In Mark 9:7, God said, a voice came from heaven, and he said, "This is my son." God speaks. God is speaking. And he says, listen to him. Listen. Holy Spirit, give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit of God is saying to the church. Lord, take any blinders off our eyes. Right? Devil, leave in Jesus' name. You are good ground, and what you will receive today from the Word of God is going to produce 30, 60, 100-fold return. You are good ground. Amen. His Word is a seed, and every time it's planted, it will produce fruit. If you're online, we're so glad you're here. Welcome to AO Church. It's all about Jesus. Share the link. Welcome to this community. I keep forgetting about them because they're not in this room. If you're not in the room, get in the room. But if you're watching online, we love you. We love you. John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice. You're his sheep. And when you're the shepherd, the great shepherd, Jesus speaks, you should be able to know it's him. Oh, how do I know it's him and not the devil and not my flesh and not this and not the pizza last night that I ate? How do I know what he's saying to do? Well, I would suggest to do what Jesus did whenever he would get information from his Father as a human being, the Word made flesh. It says in Mark 1:35, it says Jesus would get up every morning and check his cell phone and read all of his notifications and get to his emails, and then he would go to God. No, it says he would leave that thing on do not disturb. He would leave it at home. Right? It says early in the morning in the dark, like it was this morning when you woke up and you said, oh God, help me, get up. It says he left the house like you did to come to church, and it says he got away to a solitary place. Why? Because there's distractions, there's things, and there's all kind of notifications and texts and emails and WhatsApp chat groups that you gotta mute, man. There's so many of those out there. All speaking on your behalf to give you information that you don't need. And you got to be like Jesus and get away, because you're his sheep. If Jesus needed time alone every day with his Father, and then you don't do that, and then we wonder why we don't understand what he's saying. We don't hear his voice. Well, I don't hear his voice. I don't feel his presence. I don't know what he's saying. I don't know. You got to make time like Jesus did. How do you do that? One, you got to have one of these, right? I heard someone say, what if let's open up a honey. No, I don't want to use you, my wife. Can you open up your cell phone and look at how much time used on that cell phone? I don't know how many hours we don't. How many hours on Instagram we scrolling and Facebook and TikToking, but then we got to open this up. Because if you want to know that God's speaking, you got to know his voice, and you got to know his ways, and you got to know his thoughts, and you got to know what he's saying. And the first place to get that is right from the Word. A lot of us, you want to run to a conference and run to a church and hope that someone, when you walk in, gets a goosebump feeling and says, hey, I got a word from heaven. No, the word from heaven's right here every day. You could just open it up and don't just leave it open on your table. I heard someone say, no, let's open up and read it. Because we weren't with Jesus when he walked, but now we can be. The sacrifices that were paid so you could have this, people died. Christians died so you could have this scripture in your hands. People were killed, sawed in half, persecuted. So that you could have your own, the scriptures, and read them for yourself. Make time for God. If Jesus did it, so should we. Right? He speaks through his word. He speaks through prayer. You know, what is prayer? We talked about last week, Philippians 4. It says, you know, prayer is talking to God. Talk to him. But also listen to him. Isaiah 40, I think it says, those who wait on the Lord. There's something about waiting. Sometimes we want the answer, right? We want that text notification. We don't want to be left on read. We want instant feedback. But we got to wait. Listen. Slow down. Tranquilo, por favor. Relax a mente. It's going to be okay. Make time for God. Talk to God, but then take time to listen from heaven. What is he saying? And every time he speaks, it will never violate what you're reading. Never. The Spirit of God will never go against the Spirit of God that was already written down. So if he says, marry that other person that's already married to someone else, that ain't the Lord. If he told you this morning, don't go to church because you're that ain't the Lord either. Right? He says, don't forsake the assembly of the saints. He says, hey, go to and hang out with each other. So you quickly can know if it's the flesh, if it's the devil, the enemy. Oh, don't forgive that person. They already hurt you. That's just contrary to the Bible. God's always speaking. We got to listen. I think we do a lot of talking to him, but we don't take time to listen from him. He's a counselor. He's a guide. He wants to give you inside information in your life. He wants to give you divine direction. I remember years ago, it was in my 20s, and I had five opportunities of where to go, business opportunities, people that wanted to hire me, places I should move. Some looked really good. They all looked good. And one of them was with a friend of mine that I really respected. This guy wrote a book. He was healed. His heart was healed. He had this business. He was a doctor. He was a multimillionaire. And I loved going to his house because he would always lead us in worship and prayer. And I loved going there because he always fed me when I went. Even at 6 o'clock, he didn't kick me out. It was the whole family. They gave out Bibles and books and they would sing praises and worship. I mean, they would actually worship God in a circle and then they would read the Bible and then they would eat. And I loved all that part because that's what the Bible says to do, to go into each other's homes and break bread, food, and pray and talk. I loved it. So this guy wanted to give me a job. And I thought, man, that's the guy I idol. Not idol, that's who I look up to. That's who I want my family to be like in the future. Obviously, he's offering me a job. I should take it. Move to Kentucky and go. And man, I prayed. And for some reason, didn't have peace. This guy that I loved going to their house, I loved eating their food, I loved being in their, I loved being in the worship service in their home. Sons went to the NBA. I mean, just a stellar, amazing family on paper. And they are a great family. And he had this business. I want you to be a manager. I want you to move to Kentucky and run the business. And there's other opportunities. They all look great on paper. And I thought, man, Lord, let me pray. Let me pray. And I didn't have peace. I'm talking about he's a wonderful counselor. He guides you. He wants to give you information. And I decided not to go and not to take the job. And a few months later, he was arrested by the FBI for wire fraud, 10 counts, and went to jail for 5 years. And I thought, what if I was the manager of that company that he was arrested for? We're talking about Jesus. You're a parent, a mom. God will speak to you about your kids' friends that they shouldn't be around if you make time to talk to him and listen. He speaks through his word. Immediately, you know they're bad company, then immediately you don't even ask God for information about that. These people ain't Christians. They ain't walking right with God. And you're letting your son and daughter hang out with them. You think anything good's going to come out of that? The Bible says it won't. You just, for me and my house, we serve the Lord. I got this information already. I don't need a divine sign. You already know. Right? Pray, listen, read his word, make time for him. Get away like Jesus did. Get with Jesus. He wants to share things with you. He loves you. Right? I remember years ago, God was dealing with me like, hey, you need to make time for me, son. And I'm like, I know. And I got that one-year paper Bible. I love that one-year paper Bible. It's all marked up. You get the mark in it. If the cloud goes out, it doesn't matter. It's there in paper. You know, it's good. And I was like, every morning I would make time for God and I would read my one-year Bibles, about 15 minutes of reading and pray and write and all this kind of stuff. And I remember it was a Saturday and I was thinking, oh, it's Saturday. I got to hurry up and get to the bank before it closes. I got to do a few things and then I'll make time for God. Then I won't. And I remember I started driving this car and all of a sudden, and for on the way there, when I decided to not put God first and do my thing, I still thought, let me take my Bible with me, because then I'll get to him. And then, you know, so we're driving and the car just breaks down. I stall out into a Target parking lot, and I'm actually using a friend's car because my car's in the shop, and this car is an electric car that's computerized, and I don't even know what's wrong with it, and it just dies. And I just stall at Saturday morning into a Target parking lot, and I got an old Cricket cell phone. You remember Cricket with unlimited minutes? I don't even know if they have Cricket here. But all of a sudden, the phone is just completely dead. No signal at all back in the days. This is 20 years ago. And I'm just sitting there. The car won't start. My phone won't work. And then I see on the floorboard, oh, there's my one-year Bible. I guess I got time now. And I'm like, all right, God, I'm sorry. You know, I should have put you first. So I read my Bible and pray and talk to God because I can't go nowhere and the phone's not working. And I get done, and all of a sudden I hear the car just make a little, like a little, and I thought, oh, glory to God, what's wrong? And then all of a sudden, vroom, oh, the car starts. And I drove it straight to a mechanic, you know, and later they called me and they said, we don't know, how did you start this car? There's no way this car should have started. The electrical system shot. How do you, I don't know. Just Jesus did it. But it just reminded me that God wants us to put him first. First, Jesus. Amen. And even this week, I wrote out all my prayers. I said, God, I need help here, and this is going on, and help me here, and I'm talking about this and writing it down. And then I'm like, okay, I did all this talking. Now I need to just sit for a while and just sit and just pray and keep my eyes closed and just, what is the Holy Spirit saying? What does he want to tell me? And it was just really simple, and he was just like, Eric, everything's going to be okay. That's all I got. Everything's going to be okay. I want to tell you, everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. It's all about Jesus, making time for him. Amen. He wants to comfort you. The counselor is a comforter, and he wants to bring you comfort in your life. I love comforters. We have several comforters at our house. You know what a comforter is? The nice, thick blanket on the top of your bed. That's the only part of the bed that matters is the comforter. I love being in the comforter. Sometimes you take the comforter downstairs when it's too cold in the house and you're wrapped in comfort. God wants to be like that. He wants to comfort you. He wants to bring you comfort in every situation, even though circumstantially or physically or everything in your life is kind of or unstable or things are unsure or you don't know how it's going to take place. He's the comforter. He's the Prince of Peace. He gives you peace even when your reasoning or thoughts or when things don't make sense. He's the comforter. Amen. We're talking about just Jesus, the wonderful counselor. He's the comforter. He's the guide. And he also loves to give you counsel. He's a guide. John 16:13, it says, he will guide you. Let's see. But when the Spirit of truth comes, this is Jesus talking to his disciples. And he says, when I go to heaven, I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he'll tell you what is yet to come. That's what Jesus says. He's going to show you what's to come. He's going to guide you into all truth. Make time for him. Listen, read the word. The first church I pastored, there was two moms that came to me. It was spring break, just like it is here, but it was in Kansas. So in Kansas, there ain't no good spring break places if you're into spring break. And they came to me and they said, Pastor, we've been praying. Our sons, it's their senior year, and they're going to go to Mexico. And we both know They should not go. We know it. We don't know why. But we know in our hearts something bad's going to happen. What do we do? I'm like, it's the Spirit of God's telling you don't let them go. But you know, as a parent, we want to be the nice parent. We want to. And you know what they did? As most parents sometimes do. They override what the Lord is saying. And they let them go. Knowing we shouldn't let them go, Pastor. We know. We know they shouldn't go. We know in our hearts something's going to happen. And they go. You know what happens? What God said was going to happen, happened. They walk in, they stop in Mexico and get out and walk into a bar. And long story short, they're both thrown into jail. Maildales. My God. $60,000 later. One got out 6 months later. I had to call all the Rhema churches in that area and find attorneys that would go and advocate on their behalf. Of course, everyone was trying to make money. Everyone wanted to be paid off. It was a disaster. And the moms knew it. How many times in our lives do we know that we know that we know? Don't go. Don't be in this business partnership. Don't date that person. Don't go with that group tonight. He's a guide. He loves you. He wants to help you. He's going to show you things. Look, he speaks only what he's told. And do you think the Alpha and the Omega don't know the best things that you need to do in life? Does he not think and know who you should marry? Does he not think and know who you should partner up with? Does he not have your best as a parent looking back? You know why the moms let the kids go, right? Oh, they didn't want to be the bad parent. They would have been a, really? Look what happened. 6 months. In a Mexican prison. Not good. Not fun. Who do you think's the better parent if they say no and avoid that or say yes and allow that? And unfortunately, you know, kids, they don't know what we know. And then how about your heavenly Father? He knows things you don't know. He's the King. He's not withholding any good thing from you. He's not trying to not allow you to have fun in life or not have a great life. No, he's not trying to. He's trying to help you. He's the wonderful counselor, Jesus. He wants to bring you comfort in the most difficult areas and ways and problems of your life. And he wants to guide you. He's a guide. Follow him. He's the leader. We're the followers. I know we have this leadership out here. We're leaders. We're all leaders. Okay, good. But we follow him. Follow the leader, 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 follow the leader. Isaiah 30, 20 says, whether you turn right or left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. He's a guide. And he loves you. Amen. It's time to spend time with Jesus. Read his word. Listen. Wait upon him. Slow down. Get up early. And don't look at this. And open this first. Ain't nothing on this going to help you in life. Make time. Jesus comes, the counselor comes, the Spirit of God comes for the sick. Luke 5 says, the healthy don't need a doctor. He says, I didn't come for the righteous, but for the sinner to repent. The healthy don't need a doctor. That's why the church is full of people. This is a hospital, and he's the great physician. And no matter what you're going through or what traumatic thing has happened or sin you've committed, he's called to call not the right people, the people that are doing good. He's came to find those that are all messed up and mangled and need help. And he wants to bring relief. He wants to bring love and help and healing to you and to me. That's what Jesus, he doesn't come to condemn you. He doesn't come to shame you. He doesn't come to guilt you. There's no condemnation in Christ. But he comes with conviction to say, turn this way, not that way. I love you. This is the better way. Come. Amen. That's what his word does. That's what his spirit does. He's a guide. He's a comforter. He wants to bring you and give you direction. And for those that are sick, he came to save and restore and redeem and heal. There's no sin so big that God can't forgive. There's nothing you've done that's so big that he doesn't forgive. Amen. He came for the sick. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God, the Bible says. There's not one that is right with God, only Jesus. Then when he came to give you righteousness, like a robe, and say you could be made right with God, that you're good with God, and that his Holy Spirit now lives in you. A holy God puts his holiness in a broken vessel. That's grace. Nothing you could earn or do. That's Jesus. And that's who he came for. That's who he's running after. He ran after the tax collectors, the cheaters, the adulterer, the fornicator, the liar. Have you all done that? He came for you and me. He came for the sick. Man, we were all born into sin. All need to turn. All need to repent. All need to follow Jesus. Amen. Where are you sick today? Where are you hurt today? Where do you need God to heal your heart today? Maybe someone left you or disappointed you or wronged you. Maybe a father or mother didn't do you right. Maybe a spouse left when they said they would stay. Maybe you made mistakes with your kids. Maybe a leader hurt you. Maybe a pastor or a church hurt you. Where do you need healing today? Where do you need to receive his comfort, his help, his guidance? Amen. Where are you sick with addiction? Maybe you're sick and you're always anxious, so you're just eating, or you're just watching pornography, or you're drinking alcohol, or you're constantly working to get validation, and you try to find it in other things, or you're just struggle. Where can God heal you today? He wants to heal you. He wants to set you free. Amen. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You're forgiven. You're right. You're clean. You're made holy. You might have been a sinner, but today you could be made a saint. Hallelujah. Which means a called out one, set apart because of his grace. Talking about Jesus, why he came. He came to heal you today. He is the healing counselor. Amen. And I know a lot of us don't like to listen to the doctor. Right? We don't want to listen when he says you got high blood pressure, you got to stop eating all those cookies. And we just keep eating Cuban bread, and we're going to keep eating the cafe con leche no matter what. We don't want to listen to the counselor. Hey, don't do that in your marriage. Hey, you should be more attentive. Hey, make time for your kids. I'm too busy. I'm not going to listen to you, counselor. I'm not going to listen to your guidance. I'm not going to listen to your help. I know you're the great physician. I know all these things. I just want to be like those in Acts, the stiff-necked people that resisted the Holy Spirit. That's what he said. I think it was Acts 7. You stiff-necked people. My goodness, he said that. I'm just a messenger.
Acts 7:51, read it, it's right there. You stiff-necked people! Your hearts and ears are still uncircumcised. You're just like your ancestors. You always resist. Stop resisting today. Stop resisting. Surrender. He's Lord. Surrender. He's the master. Submit to his word. He's the healer. Let his conviction lead you to change this morning. Let his counsel lead your life today. Don't fight it. Surrender. Surrender to Jesus this morning. If you can, just let's stand to our feet right now. We're talking about Jesus, the counselor, the friend, the doctor, the guide. Just close your eyes for a minute. Holy Spirit, open our ears again. Open our eyes again. We want to hear your voice from heaven. God, I know you're speaking to hearts in this room now. Lord, let us walk out of today and say, you know what? Every morning at this time, I'm going to make time for Jesus. I'm going to make time for his word. I'm going to make time to pray. I'm going to wait and listen for his counsel. I'm going to accept his comfort today. Lord, I ask that you bring comfort now in this room to everyone that needs comfort. Prince of Peace, mighty God, bring your help, bring your happiness, your security, your peace. Bring your counsel. Those, Lord, if we're sick today, Lord, we thank you and welcome not condemnation, but your conviction that leads us to go a new direction, to repent, to change, to surrender to Jesus this morning. You're the counselor, oh God. Just ask this, how many of you here realize it's time to allow and let Jesus be the counselor? It's time to stop resisting the things that you already know, you've already heard, but you've dismissed. It's time to release unforgiveness. It's time to forgive those that have hurt you. It's time to allow him to heal your broken heart. It's time to follow Jesus this morning. Lord, I just pray that your healing work begin in this room. You fill everyone in this place. But right now, you say, you know what? It's time to come back. If you're here and Jesus loves you. Jesus believed in you so much that he gave his life for you. Jesus, when he left, said, I'm going to give you my spirit, the Holy Spirit, to counsel, to guide, to help, to teach you all things, to show you things to come, to give you inside information in your entire life. But maybe you're here and you realize, I haven't made time for Jesus. I haven't been following Jesus. I need to come back to Jesus today.